It's good to see you today. My name is Carl Carty, and if you haven't been to church for the last couple of weeks, I am about to preach message 3 of 4 in our summer equipping series entitled The Heart of Worship. So this is the third message in our summer equipping series, and I'm so glad you're here. I will say that for the first 2 weeks, our founding pastor, Lloyd Shadrach, was in Japan, in a literal world away, and I feel like I could pretty much say and do whatever I wanted to, but now he's back. And so I want you to know I'm cutting a lot of jokes out. I am putting in a lot of smart sounding stuff, a lot of Greek words, stuff like that. So it's really gonna be a pretty serious business from here on out. No, I'm so thankful to Rob and Lloyd for allowing me this opportunity because I love my church. I love my church family. And I love to talk with you about following Jesus with your whole heart, helping somebody else do the same. So let's jump in. Week one was the heart of worship. And I talked to you about the fear of the Lord and that being truly the heart of worship. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what I mean is just the overarching idea that I live my life out of the fear of the Lord. That's the heart of worship. Last week, we talked about the enemy of worship. That unholy trinity of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And our enemy, the enemy of worship, has one desire, and that is to pervert your worship away from the living God and to promote the idea that God is not as good as he's promised us that he would be. So we started with the heart of worship. We went to the enemy of worship. And today, we're going to talk about the art of worship. So let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me as we begin? Jesus Christ, living word in me, would you be the living word through me? I give you all I've got. I trust you with all I'm not. Would you take these loaves and fishes and bless it and break it? Use it to feed your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So what I mean when I say the art of worship is this. All of us, like artists, have a capacity within us to express worth and value to God in a way that is unique to us. Now, for many years when I've taught about worship, I've used this definition of worship. If you've been around me for a while, you might have heard me say this before. Worship is the mind's attention and the heart's affection expressed. Worship is the mind's attention and the heart's affection expressed. Now, as humans, we can give our attention and our affection to anything. But for the Christian, we are invited first and foremost to give that to Jesus. Jesus is at the center of our worship. Jesus is the heart of worship. And Christians are invited into the art of worship by expressing our mind's attention and heart's affection to Jesus alone. I'm going to talk to you about that kind of worship today, that kind of expression. It's a beautiful idea, but it can be idealistic. Because, like we talked about the fear of the Lord, that kind of worship doesn't often come natural to us. The flesh, the world, and the devil work to pull us out of our purpose. And when that happens, our expression of worship gets muted. It's like if you had a guitar, like I had my guitar up here last week. If you strummed it, but then put your hand on it, those kinds of things mute our expression. And it's often simply this. We forget the great value that we have in Jesus. It's easy for us to get. And sometimes the depth of our expression is in proportion to the value of the thing we're expressing about. The depth of our emotion, what comes out of us, is in proportion to the value that we hold for the thing that's in us. Watch this video story real quick.
My mother found this in the late 60s. There was a little neighborhood newspaper flyer, and she read that there was a glass lamp for sale. And my mother asked her, well, what would you like for it? And she said, $125. $125. So my mother went to the bank real quick, purchased it, and has had it ever since.
And your family has taken very good care of it.
Well, there's five of us, and my mother did hide it.
She had it hidden away in the hiding place.
And because we were kind of rambunctious, and it has just recently emerged.
Well, yes. Let me tell you a little bit about your lamp. You do know that it was made by the Tiffany Studios, which was the firm that was owned and operated by Louis Comfort Tiffany, who was the son of the founder of Tiffany & Company.
The woman who was selling it, because she did know it was a Tiffany, she had taken it into two dealers in her area.
Right.
And the one dealer looked at it and she said, it's not a Tiffany, it's the wrong finish on the base.
Okay.
And so she was turned around by two different dealers.
Okay, well, that's okay. This is called the etched doré finish. It's as right as rain. There's just, everything is beautiful about this lamp. So now let me just give you the good news. This lamp is worth between $80,000 and $125,000. Mom had a good eye. She's... Congratulations.
Oh. I love those ladies. I think, and I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a lot of $100,000 lamps laying around my house. And that lamp went on to be worth, increased in value to over $300,000. Pretty cool lamp. Did you notice how once the appropriate value was assigned to what they had, that the emotion and the gratitude, when it dawned on them, the value of what they had, it just flowed out of them instinctively. What? Oh my gosh. They couldn't believe it. It was beautiful. And you know, when those ladies go to parties now, and someone starts telling stories, you know what they're gonna tell? The story of the lamp. Oh yeah, good story. Well, I got another story about my lamp. It's worth $300,000. They can't stop talking about the lamp because the value was revealed to them and it dawned on them, oh my gosh, this is precious. I can't not talk about it. So the first lesson in the art of worship is just a reminder. We as Christians treasure Christ in our hearts. His worth and value to you is a metric of your expression back to him. Now, it can and will look different for all of us, different personalities, different styles of expression, all of that. But the question that I want to pose to you is this: if you're not engaged in expressing the value of Christ in your life, ask yourself why. Have you lost your first love? How do you know? Let me read from Matthew 6, some of Jesus' words about value. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus goes on to say in that same chapter, you cannot serve two masters, which is another way of describing the divided heart. And how when our hearts get divided between Christ and the things of this world, we cannot properly assign the value that he is worthy of. That's why I taught you in week one to pray that prayer, Psalm 86:11. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name, because with a divided heart, you cannot rightly value who Christ is. Let me talk a little bit about religion and religious people. This is a tricky area. When you're talking about worship and you bring up religion, religious people. I grew up in church. I wonder if there's anyone else in here that grew up in church that you would just show me by show of your hands. Did you grow up in church? There's a bunch of us. Yeah, it's good. I'm glad you're here. I don't feel alone anymore. I didn't feel alone before, but now I really feel good. We grew up in church, but a lot of my buddies I went to high school with, they were falling asleep in church. I had an adventure every Sunday. It was amazing. There were demons being cast out and people running the aisles and people flipping out. And one time, a person threatened to fight my father in church. I kid you not, I was there for the whole thing. I was actually playing the piano underneath it. It was really nice. And I love the people that I grew up with and the church that I grew up in. Those people were so good to me and they raised me. But there was a distinctive about that church that even the people that were a part of it would not dispute. And this was an emphasis on external appearance. If you looked right, you were right. And all of the men were clean shaven and wore their hair very short. And the women never cut their hair or wore makeup. And they were always in a long skirt or a dress. And if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of spot a person's theology if you see them coming. It was a lot about the external appearance, and that's how I grew up. But Jesus did not assign very much value at all to external appearances. He was more concerned with matters of the heart, who you were on a heart level, not a surface level. Gospel of Matthew again, chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now for church people especially, it's easy to value religion over Jesus. It's easy to value the trappings of following Jesus more than we value Christ. But the heart of worship and the heart that truly worships will place Christ at the center of their life and worship him from the inside out, transformed. And that expression, that inside out expression, is what helps to change the atmosphere in our world around us for the glory of God. The best art comes from the heart. The best version of you is when you live from the heart transformed by Jesus. I had an experience in a restaurant one time, and I used to travel and lead worship all over the country, and I would travel with my friend and mentor, Robert Shaw. Robert's probably one of the most influential guys in my life, bar none. And he would preach and I would lead worship and we would go over the country. And anytime we would go and work in a new town, we always liked to go to a restaurant that we couldn't go to anywhere, but you know, in this town, we like local food. So I went in the restaurant one time and I sat down at the table. Me and Robert were there, never been there before. A waitress walks up to us. She said, "Good evening, fellas. What can I get for you tonight?" And I said, "What do you recommend?" She looked me straight in the face and said, "Another restaurant." I'm not kidding. Now, she had the name tag on. She had the uniform on. She had the little pad. She was about to take my order. I presumed that she knew what was on the menu. But her heart was way off. She had the look right, but the expression was way off. So the first lesson, this reminder, the heart of worship is this, the internal reality of who Jesus is. When you value Christ above all else, let that value flow out of you and into the world for God's glory. If it happens any other way, it's going to be off. Let me go now to part two of this message, moving quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. I'm going to give you 2 points as we move from the internal reality of the priceless value of Christ. I jumped ahead of myself, but I want to make sure I say this. I skipped this on my notes. The way to value Christ in your life is first to realize how much Christ values you. The way you determine value is to find out how much someone is willing to pay for something. And Jesus gave his life through suffering and great cost on the cross for you and me. It's unimaginable value that came at great cost. And when you do realize that, when you do realize who he is and what he's done, the gratitude cannot help but flow from you. The worship cannot be stopped. Your expression cannot be muted. Let me read Hebrews 13, 15. Let's go. Through him then, Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. A beautiful couple of verses about expressive worship and how valuing Christ in our hearts produces 2 distinctive external expressions. Let me look with you at these. Verse 15, first one, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. This is the story that we all tell. These are the songs we sing, the prayers, the creeds, the testimonies, the sacraments, the body of Christ collectively expressing. It's the story that we all tell, the name of Jesus on our lips. And if that's not part of your faith, if you're not telling the story, ask yourself, why is that? The fruit of lips is not just for singers and preachers. It's for everyone who has within them the capacity to express the beautiful transformation that Christ has made in their life. And we do it in a million ways. We do it in a million ways. Christianity is a word-based faith. Christianity is a word-based faith. There's a huge emphasis on language and the word. Our whole world, our belief is that our whole world came into existence not with a bang, but a word. Maybe the word made a bang, I don't know. But the Bible teaches us that God spoke and creation came to be. It describes Jesus as the living word who dwelt among us. It says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So the concept of the fruit of lips that confess his name and that worship his name, that is a very powerful thought. So our external expression number one of an internal reality is that we bear the fruit of lips that tell of the goodness of God. When we value Christ in our hearts, the fruit of worship comes out of our lips. Let's keep going. Hebrews 13, 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You might think of verse 15 as what we all do collectively. You don't have to have a special talent or a special gift to just worship the Lord with your words. But verse 16, you could say, how do I contribute individually to the whole expression? What can you bring to the picture that nobody else could? Doing good and sharing what you have. your creative capacity, your imagination. It's unique to you. How do you use it and purpose it for God's glory? These are the sacrifices that please God. Now, there's a million different expressions that this world has to offer. Your mind's attention, heart's affection can be given to anything. But for the Christian, when we give our mind's attention and heart's affection to anything but Jesus, it's a setup for disaster. Because when you do something that is unique to you, for your glory, and you pervert the purpose for which you were made, when you express for your own glory, it will crush you. You're not built to bear up under the weight of glory. You're built with the purpose of letting God's glory flow through you back to Him. But it'll crush you if you try to keep it for yourself. You see, when we worship something that isn't worthy of our worship, and we pour out our hearts to it, the flesh, the world, and the devil, they crush us. They distort our purpose. Then the enemy of worship is hard on the heart because we cannot bear up under the weight of glory. None of those things can. It's too much. And it leaves us empty. It leaves us wanting. It leaves us depressed and confused and longing, wondering, do I have a purpose? Surely there's something more. I want to show you one more story this morning about someone who had that very experience. Watch this video with me.
I like to think what I do in my role here is setting a banquet table for our church body. I'm not the chef, I'm not the cook. I'm not making the meal, but I'm getting the setting ready for those who are attending. And so I want everything to look right on the table. I want it to show that we are prepared, that we are excited, and then presenting it in a way that reflects on the host, reflects on Christ. I'm Joe Blair, and I'm the production director here at Fellowship Bible Church. The easiest way to describe what I do is overseeing the look, the feel, the flow of our worship services at Fellowship. It includes all things creative in the services, visuals on the screens, set design, stage design, all the things that you feel and experience the environment of the worship service. I grew up and lived a good portion of my life as a performer. I crave the approval of others, and so in that I would really become whoever I needed to be in the moment. If I needed to be a leader in the youth group growing up, I would be that. If I needed to be good on the athletic field, I would do that. If I needed to act older than I was, I would. So I was always craving that approval, and into my adult life that continued. I would create things not for God's glory, but for my own. I wanted the approval and the attention to be on me. And so that cycle that I put myself in really created isolation in my own life, in my own heart, isolating myself, saying that I had to be the one creating in order to get the approval for what was created. I needed to get the attention. And that cycle just continued. And the fear of being found out to be a fake in that really became debilitating. And it affected really every part of my life. My relationships were affected by it, with my my wife, my kids, my coworkers. Because I couldn't keep up. I couldn't be all that I thought people wanted me to be. The transformative moment for me was just crying out to God saying, why am I here? What am I doing? What's my purpose? And God, in his grace and his love for me, just said, because I love you, and that's enough. I created you. Knowing that I was made to be a reflection of Christ, it's really at the heart of who I am now. And so everything that happens in the room, I want it to all be pushing back and turning our attention to Christ. And whether that's visuals on the screen or the way the lighting is or the colors that are even used. God has uniquely gifted each one of us to curate the space that we're given. The environment that I'm in is Fellowship Bible Church, but we're all created to reflect Christ in the space that he's placed us in. And we can make an eternal impact on that space and that environment if we fully give ourselves to who he's created us to be. It was always just work before. It was always a struggle. It was never enough. And now I found real purpose and true joy in what God's called me to.
Real purpose and true joy in what God has called him to. I don't know if you've ever seen Joe before. Sometimes he's mentioned from stage to come and handle problems and technical things, but Joe has been serving this church going into his 20th year. And over those 20 years, I love the story of that transformation, of how the creative expression, when it was done for himself, it was crushing, ruining relationships, hurting his own soul. Just coming to God and saying, Lord, what in the world? What is my purpose? The purpose that I've been trying to live out is not working, it's crushing me. I'm so thankful to Jesus. He did a transformative work in Joe's life and revealed to Joe day after day, little by little. Now the value is not something that you could earn. It's a gift, just like Luke read early on. Oh, this is the work of God's grace. Inestimable value, unimaginable beauty and goodness, power. It's yours. It's a free gift. See it for what it is. See Christ for who he is. And pour it back to him. Stop letting this world, you don't have to be crushed by this world. Worship is a doorway, expression is a gateway to freedom and healing, because you find in that your purpose, ultimate joy, and God's glory. Now I want the Spirit to minister for these next few minutes. I can't preach long enough or make enough speeches to transform your heart. But the people of God, calling on the name of God, lifting up the name of God together, creates an atmosphere for transformation. An unimaginable power that any of us could ever even describe, only experience a little bit at a time. But I know that there are those of you in here who may be wrestling with some of those questions that I posed to you throughout this message. Why am I silent? What am I doing to share what I have with the world around me in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory? Maybe you've repurposed your gifts and you're good at what you do, but you're doing it for your own glory. I've been guilty of that. I think we all can be guilty of that if we're not careful. So let me invite you to just bow your head with me. I want to lead you through a prayer time before we close our service this morning. And ask the Spirit of God to speak to you now. Let's begin first in repentance. God, why do I stay silent? What am I afraid of? Repent before the Lord now. You know, someone told me before I came up to preach the first service this morning that fear is to the evil one what faith is to the Lord. And God might be calling you to do something, to be something, to share something, to express something, but you might be meeting that call with a, I don't have the status, or I don't have the talent, or I'm not good enough to be one of those people. I can't express like Joe. I can't sing like someone, or I'm not good with my words. Let me say this to you. Jesus was never impressed with status. He was never impressed with money. He was never impressed with what we might describe as external things. He was always moved by faith. Always moved by faith. Pray this prayer. God, would you help build my faith? Would you build my faith, please, so that I can follow you in faith and believe? We move from repentance to belief. God, build my faith. Help me to have the confidence, not in my own abilities, but in your ability to lead me. Finally, pray this. Holy Spirit, would you be my strength? I repent. I believe. Give me strength to obey. If we leave here this morning, having repented, our faith strengthened, my prayer is that we would leave also with a mission. Imagine the spaces that you are going to impact when you leave from here. How could you fill them with the story of how good God has been in your life? Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your attention right now what it is that you could do so that you're not neglecting to do good. What is it that you could share, that only you have, that only you could share? For God's glory, in your joy, the fruit of lips that confess his name, doing good and sharing what you have. Share Jesus, express Jesus. That's the heart of worship. I'm gonna invite you to stand. We're gonna sing a couple more songs this morning. We're gonna place our hearts towards Christ and place him at the center, valuing him above all else, but knowing that when we do that, he gets the glory, we get the joy. It ain't about us, it's about him. Let's sing.